Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray that you have had a great Easter day and that you have spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Now, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we go into Your Word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, so that we can gain in knowledge and wisdom. The knowledge of Your Word, Father, and the wisdom to use it so that we can be better equipped to help others that are in need and that need to come out of darkness and come to the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray now for Kenny that this fever, Father, goes. That by the time this study is over, that and his foot problems will be gone. And Father, if we have done anything this day that's been displeasing to you, forgive us and let us know, Father, what it is so that we don't do it again. Now be with us, Father, throughout this study, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All of you that takes communion with us, if you're ready, get your bread. We know that the night that Jesus took bread, He was betrayed on that night. And as He gave thanks for that bread, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Take your bread. Now get your cup. And after the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So drink your cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. All right. Now, we had our Easter message this morning. So this evening, we're going to be getting back into Hebrews. We'll be in chapter 7. I'll give you a minute to get there. All right, beginning with verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. This is actually the first of the beginning of the times, was Abraham's paying Melchizedek. That more or less got him started. All right. Now, 2. To whom also, well, 3, I'm sorry, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now, as we look at those three verses, we find that they're letting us know who the author is. Melchizedek appears only briefly in the Old Testament, yet our author minutely scrutinizes him. Being by interpretation, the writer sees in Melchizedek a type figure of Christ and draws parallels between the two, without father and without mother. What is true of Melchizedek typically only because of silence in intrinsically true of Christ, Melchizedek is without parents only in that they are unknown. He is without descent in that his genealogy has not been preserved. The genealogy was essential, for under the Levitical system, one could not serve if he could not prove his pedigree. Melchizedek had no papers. Further, he is without beginning and ending due to the Old Testament never mentioning his birth and death. The author explicitly states his point when he declares that Melchizedek is made like or resembles the Son of God, but has the author taken too much liberty with this typology? No. For God himself first made the similar connection in Psalms 110, verse 4. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You see, even the Lord Jesus Christ, when God gave him that priesthood, he gave it to him after the order of Melchizedek. So we really don't know where Melchizedek originated from. Was he another one that was sent by God? We really don't know. Now we do know that he was one of God's priests, because we've just been told that. Now, understand these verses in Hebrew to suggest that Melchizedek was a typographic and appearance of Christ himself rather than a historical king of Salem. Neither Hebrew nor Genesis, however, support that view. Even in Hebrews, such phrase was made like unto the Son of God. And after the order of Melchizedek indicates a clear distinction between Melchizedek and Christ. We know that they're not the same being, but they are both under the same type of priesthood, the same order of it. Now four. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of his spoils. He had just won his battle, and he had all of the spoils from that land, and he gave a tenth of that to Melchizedek. And like I said, this actually is the beginning in the Bible of any type of tithing. Now, five. And verily they are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law that is of their brother, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Now, you see, under the law, they used to pay tithes. So from the time of Abraham on, they've always been tithes to pay. And it's no different for you and I today. Six, but he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Seven, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Eight, and here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Nine, and as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. And ten, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Even Abraham, the great patriarch of the Jewish people, considered Melchizedek enough superior that he tithed to him willingly and humbly of his spoils. So Levi and the entire Levitical priesthood, which proceeded from Abraham, are inferior to Melchizedek and his priesthood, even though Abraham was the recipient of the covenant, and later his descendant Moses of the law, he is the receiver rather than the bestower of the blessing. Thus Melchizedek is his better and is certainly superior to Abraham's offspring. As we go on here with verse 11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, or under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should raise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? for the priesthood, being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. We know that this change consists of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The author raises the question as to why the Old Testament should make reference to another priesthood if the Levitical priesthood were producing perfection, meaning completion or fulfillment of its role. Why is another needed? The old system pronounced its own down doom by speaking of another. Further, the author teaches that the passing of the Levitical priesthood necessitates the removal of the Mosaic law. They are intraceably united. The law did not produce the Levitical priesthood, rather the priesthood required the law. Both Moses and Aaron were chosen by God before the law was given. The law was given at Sinai to provide the procedures and ordinances for the functioning of the priesthood God had already established. So our author actually acknowledges that the passing of the Levitical priesthood demands the passing of the Mosaic legal system. And we want to note that Paul's teaching concerning the passing of the law in relation to the believer. God has not, however, annihilated the law. He has removed it from the life of the believer because it can neither save nor sanctify the unsaved man. However, still lies under its convicting and condemning work. Now, you know, the law is what brought sin, the knowledge of sin, to man. Because until God gave Moses the law, man had no idea about right and wrong, and what was right and what was wrong, especially in the work of serving the Lord. So this is why God gave Moses the law, so man would learn what he should do and should not do. The law required so much that man wasn't keeping it either. And then that's why the Father sent you and I, Jesus Christ, to fulfill the law and to establish the church age, to make things easier for mankind to make heaven his home by going through Jesus, because he is the way and he is the only way. There is no other way. Now, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? You see, I read this again because I want you to really understand what he was trying to tell us there about the law and what it could do and could not do. And we were told there in 12 that the priesthood being changed, there is made the necessity a change also of the law. 13, for he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. 14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. 15. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. And he's speaking here about the Lord Jesus Christ. For he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Now you see, we've got all of these preachers out here telling you that there's no one perfect. They'll tell you, no, not one. Because you find that in the Word of God. You find that statement. But they took it out of its context to use it in their way and make it say what it was not saying. You see, if they would have read the rest of it where it was sitting, they would have found out that he was talking about that there was no one perfect before the Lord Jesus Christ. The law couldn't make them perfect. We're being told that again right here in this. And, you know, as we go on, there in 19 is where he was telling us, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. Jesus was made our high priest, and everything that you and I receive comes through him. And for you and I to go to the Father and speak with him, and to praise him, and to worship him, we go through the Lord Jesus Christ, and even use his name. Because we are told in the Word of God that that's the way we are to pray. We are to pray to the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. Now, verse 21, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You see, letting us know that that is going to stand because it was a promise and also an oath, and he will not repent of it. 22. By so much as Jesus made a surety of a better testament. 23. and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Now, 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. It'll never change. Now, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. 26. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. He's got quite a bit of love for us, hadn't he? That's letting us know just how much he does think of us. 27. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's? For this he did once, when he offered up himself. Now, and he's there making intercession for you and I. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. We know the two last verses I've read, 15 through 28, says, through the author, or though the author has repeatedly mentioned the unending nature of the Melchizedek priesthood, is now become the central point. Because of its unending nature, it provides a better hope and an unchangeable priesthood, resulting in an unending salvation and intercession through a perfect one-time sacrifice, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have now come to the end of chapter 7. We will stop here for the evening. And I pray that all that hear this message will spend a little more time themselves, with just themselves and our Heavenly Father, in communication and the looking into His Word to see what they have for Him. And I pray that you've had a great day thus far, and that you go in, have a good evening, and a very peaceful and restful night. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we reach out, Father, and close your word, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for the saints, wherever they are. We know, Father, that they are scattered throughout the world. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will see to their health, will keep them safe, and see to their needs. And Father, I pray for Israel. I pray, Father, that Israel will have peace. But more than that, I pray that they, as a nation, will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, I pray for peace for it also. But I pray, Father, that those that love you will come together and help to straighten out a lot of things that needs to be straight within our church world. And come together, Father, to remove those that are in our government, sitting in offices that are filled with evil and that has brought so much evil upon this land. Father, they'll be replaced with those that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, love your church, your people, and this land, to work with us to put this land, Father, and our government, back upon the foundation which it was, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I do not pray for all that has a part of this ministry and that listens to it. Father, that they all can stand firm, stand bold, and declare your word to those they come in contact with, to be a help to those that are walking in darkness and weakness, Father. I know we cannot give the increase, but we can share your word with them and the Holy Spirit dealing with them and bring them to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ so they can repent and be forgiven. Now, Father, watch over all of us and our families through this night. Keep us all in health and keep us safe. In Jesus' name. Father, bring us back together again in the morning at 10 a.m. and back into your word. And I wish everyone a great night. Good night, all.